PhD offers Ayurvedic lifestyle transformation consultations and wellness recommendations. Information and registration is at oneyoga.com. Support also comes from Ekankar of Mendocino and Lake Counties. Ekankar presents Who, the Key to a Happier Life, Sunday, January 28th, 11 a.m. at Hill House, 10701 Pallet Drive in Mendocino. It's an opportunity for opening the heart, discovering spiritual tools, awakening to divine guidance, and experiencing ways to a happier life. Information at 456-9934. The views expressed on this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent the opinions of station staff, members, or board. If you call in when the listener phone line is open, please be aware this show is recorded and may be accessed at KZYX and Z's web
culture. And a lot to do with farming. And then at some point, probably in the early 90s, I started trying to understand issues in the culture to a greater degree and started working with Alliance for Democracy and from there worked with Move to Amend, and out of that created study groups to again understand the culture in a broader sense, and then became involved with Michael St. John and Jim Tarbell, Margaret Koster, Jerry Mariski, Lillian Cartwright, and people who were a lot of other people, but these are the people who've been helpful in my evolution here. So that's probably enough.
Great. How about you, Jim?
All right. Well, as you can tell, Carrie is the organizer. She's done wonderful organizing stuff. She didn't even talk about it, educating. I know she has a master's in education, taught in colleges. And anyway, I'm more of a journalist and an educator. And I think that came out of, I went to college in Washington, D.C. and worked at the Capitol for a congressman. And as I did that, I realized that money was power and that really the democracy that we're taught was not necessarily what was happening in Washington, D.C. And after that, I was in the Peace Corps in Washington, in Ecuador, and I had a job way out in the jungle in this area that was supposed to be a land reform project, and there were people out there who had never really been empowered before. And just seeing them come together and in community meetings and be able to talk about their lives and how empowering and uplifting that was for them was a powerful experience. And so I remember that when I came back. And I came back here to the North Coast, helped my brother build a house down in northern Sonoma County in Annapolis, and realized that I could kind of continue this education and my writing. I wrote a book about kind of early globalization and the effects of it in Latin America and my experiences in the Peace Corps. And then my wife and I started a magazine, published a magazine for years called Ridge Review, and we talked a lot about the culture here and the history and a lot of the money is power and what was happening with all that. And then we, starting in 1997, we started the this radio program right here we're on, Corporations and Democracy, with Tom Wadetsky and Linda Perry. And started talking about the power of money and what was happening with it in the world. And it evolved. In 2005, I became the editor of a publication, national publication for the Alliance of Democracy called Justice Rising, Grassroots Solutions to Corporate Power. And out of that, Carrie invited me to come and start doing some workshops that she was leading. And it just led me on and on to where we are today.
Well, where we sit in the KZYX studio.
That's right. Here.
So you've created and taught a series of classes on dealing with citizen democracy and sustainable economy. Tell us about the evolution of your classes and development.
Well, first, I think our idea was to extend the knowledge, you know, that Jim has been writing about this in Justice Rising for Alliance for Democracy for years and years, and had a vast amount of material on how to think about these concepts and the problems, and also the solutions as to how to move. And then as we moved along, we started focusing more on strategies and solutions rather than the history. And now we seem to be in this phase of doing a project with the class that includes everybody in the class. It's not really that top-down. It's very much more like a workshop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for years we had kind of a introductory course, what we called Grassroots Solutions in Corporate Power. And then I guess about a year ago we decided that, you know, our old friend Jan Edwards, who also used to do this radio program with us, we used to have a saying. She would say, you know, you can't always go ready, aim, 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 ready, ready, aim, aim, aim.
At some point you got to pull the trigger, the metaphor.
At some point you got to move ahead. So we decided after a couple of years of our ready and aiming that it was time to move ahead. And we talked for a long time about mapping what we call the solidarity economy in Mendocino County. And so this class that Carrie and I are now working on, I probably jumped ahead here on our question.
Nope, go wherever you want.
Is really a takeoff off of a project that the National Social Solidarity Economy has been working on the East Coast. And the National Social Solidarity Economy is a part of a whole global effort to network all of the institutions that are trying to create what we call the economy for the common good, an economy for the future that solves a lot of the inherent problems of our traditional system, and tries to create a future that's going to be sustainable and vibrant and healthy, mentally, physically healthy for us and for the planet.
And how are this new way of looking at things, how is it different than the old way?
Well, where this came out of, it came out of this group called the Solidarity Economy, and I first ran into it in 2007 at the U.S. Social Forum in Atlanta. And they were coming together for the first time, but they brought people around the world who were doing this. Mainly it was co-ops and worker-owned businesses, but just businesses and entities that were doing something unique. I remember there was one group of people that had a restaurant that didn't ever have prices on their menus, and you just paid whatever you thought it was worth. And they said they made more money than they would have otherwise. So it's people that are challenging things like that. And, you know, we at every community I discovered after dealing with the social solidarity economy for years, every community defines it differently. What do they mean by what an economy for the common good is, and how is it? So that's one of the things we do in our class. The first thing we do is each class decides, well, in our community, this is what it is. And it could be things from challenging the profit motive as the main driving force behind your enterprise, or, you know, worker-owned businesses, so it's more democratically run and horizontally managed. So that kind of thing. I'm not sure where I took us all to, but
and Carrie, do you have other thoughts?
In addition, you know, I think it's also so much about the process. So, you know, how do we work together, and how do we do that, you know, successfully, and how do we inquire together and use our imaginations, and can we get new ideas out of the group that are, you know, latent, but they're just like not really there until you go looking. So to me, it also has to do with a certain mindset of being open-minded and open-hearted and being willing to make mistakes and learn from mistakes. So failure is not really such a terrible thing if you can turn around and see what you've done and how to improve it.
And it's a great delight working with Carrie because, I mean, it's not the typical classroom at all. There's singing, there's yoga, there's dancing, movement.
Well, we have to do uplifting things when we're working with the oppressive corporate rule structures.
That's right.
Yeah. So your upcoming class on a county mapping project, as you said, is part of the larger picture, and you brought in, I'll hold it up to the microphone, but I'm not sure that'll be very helpful. It's a map of the whole United States with these circles with, like, New York area. It looks like there's over 1,000 places, entities that fit in this structure, and just across the whole United States. What is the organization that is overseeing this? I know you mentioned
when I was in Atlanta, the first coming together of what is now known as the U.S. Social Solidarity Network. USSEN, I think, is their website. And they are the overseeing. A woman named Emily Kawano, who is there in Atlanta, who I've gotten to know pretty well, and who has helped us quite a bit on this project, is kind of the organizer, has been the organizer. She was the head of what was called the Center for Popular Economics in Amherst, Massachusetts, before she took off on this project and works full-time on making this going and networking all these groups together all across the country to make people realize that the future economy that we've all been trying to work on to create that can really create a sustainable world is already here and already existing. Mm-hmm. And there are fantastic examples of it. The most fantastic examples in Quebec and in Canada, where they have government-supported training systems. They have financial institutions that lend money. It's really a very impressive.
Like public banks?
Well, it's kind of like a public bank, yeah. They have created these funds that were funded by the unions and by the government and by foundations, I think. And they did this outrageous thing is they said, we're going to loan. They loaned out, I don't know, $50 million and didn't ask for collateral. And they had the best repayment of any financial institution. And people said, you're crazy, you can't do that. But it has worked really well for them. Because they're very sustainable institutions. They're very responsible institutions. They're not fly-by-night. They're here to take care of the community. And they want to get their mission done. And they want to keep all these financial institutions solid and moving ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
And what is the goal of the project in our county, in Mendocino County?
Well, there are several goals, really, but the main goal that we can see is to create a map within the limits of our county that identify these entities that are working towards the common good. So that map we already have about 25 entities on it from the first class at the coast, and now we're going to go inland and continue. So it doesn't mean that we only identified 25 entities, but part of the process is to go to the entity and interview the group so that we make sure that we're speaking from their point of view in relationship to what we have on the map. So it takes a good amount of time to do this, but the benefit is that in this process of the interview, the real details of what the people value really are highlighted, and it emphasizes in the business the things that the qualities that the people have been striving for and maybe not seen.
We were kind of surprised, Linda, that the whole process proved to be very beneficial for the participants and very beneficial for the people we were surveying, that everybody got animated by this idea and loved to talk about their visions and goals and how it was working. So it really brings all these people together, and the whole idea is that we can network everybody together. What we're really creating is a database, the map that Carrie was talking about is really based on a database that she has had a lot to do with putting together and manages this database that we could probably use for a lot of things, that we could use it to network these groups together. We could use it to there are other programs. We use this. Our map now is just using a very basic Google map, but there are other programs, one called Story Map, where you could almost make a documentary out of the maps and the people that are doing things and go out and interview people. So the project could be an unlimited project, and we're just in the very beginning of it. And as we said, as we're doing this class in the fall, that we're designing the bicycle or building the bike while we're riding it.
That's a good trick.
So it's all a creative process.
One other thing is it's about perception. And as Jim mentioned earlier, it's like once you start seeing all these groups that are already doing, you know, work for the common good, it's kind of gives you an opportunity to see things in a different way. And hopefully that is one of the purposes for doing it as well.
You know, that mind shift, that just that little tweak that people have an epiphany and see things a different way, that's so valuable and hopeful. I'm really encouraged by how hopeful and positive, solution-oriented, 'cause it's – we have to – that life raft is so important these days.
And there's, I think we have identified just on the coast over 100 entities. I'm sure in Mendocino County there's 250 or more. So it's pretty exciting doing all this.
So when is your class going to start?
This weekend, the 27th.
January, yeah.
This Saturday. We'd love to have people sign up.
Yeah. And it's at 10 to 12 at the Mendocino College in Willits.
And then go over your schedule for the classes.
Well, it's going to happen every 2 weeks on the morning. I think it goes into April 28th, every 2 weeks, starting on the 27th. And they're for 2 hours. You don't have to show up at every class. At some point, you know, basically we start out and the group defines what they call what they think are the parameters of the economy for the common good, what people have to be doing to be doing that. And then we go into identifying and then creating a survey that will work to get the information we want and then going out and doing the survey. So and it's a big project to get this all done. In fact, the people – we did a class in the fall on the coast, and we got, as Carrie said, about 25 of the – over 100 groups that we'd identified. And the people from that class are still carrying on in what we call the Club for the Common Good because they're so inspired by this project. They want to make sure that it all gets done and all gets carried on. So that's pretty exciting.
So it sounds like the inland folks really have a good opportunity to plug into this project with the class.
Right. Yeah. So there are about 15 people that are going to meet and continue on with the interviews and continue to build what we've already started. And on the coast, so we're excited about that too.
Yeah, we're hoping that, you know, we'll have a lot of people here. The more we need people to do this. This is a very human
labor intensive,
human intensive, labor intensive project, and we need people that are animated and like this idea to sign up for this class. You sign up for the class by calling Mendocino College. You can talk to Patty Goulias at Mendocino College. Number is 468-3236. And she'll take it. Costs $25, I think, for the whole thing. It's really just to pay for the janitorial service and the heating of the room. It's a great facility. And but it's good if you do it, you know, today or tomorrow.
Right, because you've got to show up on Saturday.
Because we've got a minimum that we've got to have by Friday probably. To make this thing really happen. So that would be good to get people out there to do that.
You said your last class was sitting on the floor, room only.
That's right.
So
once it started, but beforehand, you know, it was the same sort of situation. People, I think, tend to wait and, I don't know.
Do I want to do this?
Oh, yeah. And then they all show up. And a lot of people show up. you know, haven't even signed up for the class. So then we have a little sign-up sheet or the registration sheet that they can fill out and send into the college.
And you sign up. You also can go online at mendocino.edu/workshop-registration.
Mm-hmm. Good. And we'll repeat all that information. So if folks want to grab paper and pencil, we'll go over that again. So what types of businesses and nonprofits and government agencies and citizens groups are you seeking for your project? What characteristics do they have? Who, if somebody's listening, how do they know if they're who you're looking for?
Well, the obvious one to start out with are like co-ops and credit unions, and community service organizations, nonprofits, and B corporations. And then we also consider how decision making happens, and how are the workers, how's the input for the workers handled. And
are most of them profit making? They hire workers, or are some of them
often? You know, it can be anything. It can be, you know, even the fires happened in the middle of this class last year, and the woman we were teaching it with, Margaret Costro, was evacuated out of Willits, where she lives. And she pointed out how just even the firefighters, and there was so much coordination and working together way over time, and, you know, just everybody putting in everything, just even that type of effort of where you're building community and saving the community is such an important thing to concentrate on and to recognize and to make part of this whole enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
So,
in addition, some groups, for example, North Coast Brewery reaches out and with many other groups, and how do they network? You know, what kind of networks are they creating? For instance, they are working with Fortunate Farm and Gowan Batiste, and Gowan is sequestering carbon at a farm, not like in the forest, but on her farm, and it's actually measurable. So it's you know, and the brewery is supplying all the waste from the hops to the farm so that this is possible. So this kind of networking relationship, you know, things that how you tie things together, that makes a big difference.
And Carrie mentioned the North Coast Brewing. North Coast Brewing is also what's called a B Corporation, mm-hmm. which is a new kind of model for a corporation that not only looks at its profit line, but also in the annual statement, also looks at its impact on the environment and its social impacts on the local society and local culture. So that's a whole new way for business entities to look at what they're doing in the world, to take all the interests and all the costs to the stakeholders and to the world and to the environment of what their project is. And I think there are quite a few B corporations in Mendocino County. I know Thanksgiving Coffee is on the coast, and
Harvest Market.
Harvest Market is on the coast, and I know there are a lot of inland ones also. So those are another sort of groups, or environmental groups that are Mendocino Land Trust that's protecting a lot of what we call the commons. The commons is a very important part of this project. That understanding that there are parts of the culture, both culturally and of nature, that we have depend on for our survival, the air, the water, the soil, and that we have a right to make sure that those are not damaged and poisoned by corporate activities or anybody's activities. So those are kinds of things.
We're talking with Carrie Durkee and Jim Tarbell, who are teaching a spring semester workshop called Building an Economy for Our Common Good, Mapping Solidarity Economy Enterprises of Mendocino County. And we're coming up on 1:30. We'll go ahead and open our phone lines, and you can call in at 895-2448. The types of companies that you're looking for, how do you find them? How do you find the people that you're mapping?
Well, just start out brainstorming, really.
Just what everybody is familiar with. I think that people know the institutions in their communities that they feel are doing good for the future of our communities here. It's really the class. You use the word teachers. We're not really teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You might call us
facilitators.
Yeah, maybe we're facilitators because everybody's really teaching each other here. And everybody's coming together to share everything they know about their communities and going out and finding and doing the work of these classes. There is some work involved here. There's not much homework, but there is some homework. You know, we have some readings. The Justice Rising that I edited did a whole issue on the solidarity economy at one point. And so we'll probably email a PDF of that to everybody in the class. And we have some extra copies of it that we'll hand out. And people should read that to kind of familiarize themselves. It'll help familiarize them with the kind of things that we're talking about, the issue of Justice Rising.
Mm-hmm. I know that I'm part of a small community, and you'd sent me there. We talked about it.
We had a long conversation about where you are as part of what we're doing.
We did, and you sent me the application and the questionnaire, and it's sitting there.
It hasn't come back yet, Linda.
It hasn't come back yet. Yeah,
we're waiting.
I'll offer to help.
Good. Yeah. Well, it's.
Yeah, we can't help you. we're here to help.
Yeah. Well, good. The whole idea of a community, although we do look for ways that our small community can be able to support ourselves and the members in it. We haven't had a lot of money pouring in yet, but we're still looking at doing workshops and
I think you're a great example in our long conversation just how you're living together and a multi-generational living situation and just your whole philosophy about, you know, family engagement and community engagement.
Well,
I think is atypical of how a lot of communities.
Well, you
survive.
I feel like being a senior citizen and just starting to live in community, although I did live for 20 years almost in a community outside of Ukiah. But it was a little different. We share community space, kitchens and bathrooms and the house. So we're a little more in each other's faces than the community I lived in before. But part of our concept was rather than every household having a lawnmower and a refrigerator and a table saw and yada, 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 pickup truck and, everything that people have to have, that we can share. We can have one lawnmower between all of us and other items to not be consuming in quantities. In fact, one of the ideas that we had that we're still rolling around. We have many ideas, and it's not always quick to have them reach fruition. And sometimes the more we think about them or try them out, we realize either we have to vastly amend them or let go of them. Including, we found it very challenging being multi-generational. We just had 1-year-old twin babies move. They were with us for a few months, some people who'd lived with us before. And as much as we love those little babies, I'm, you know, my grandkids are teenagers, and I'm not used to living with babies.
They have a different schedule.
That and they have, you have to arrange your house differently,
yeah.
And it never looks the same again. So there's this sustainable economy is not always as easy or to pull off as, but I still believe that when I lived in the previous community, I lived in my own cabin and we had monthly meetings, but most of us were pretty self-contained. We didn't interact. We weren't forced to interact. We interacted quite a bit, but not out of necessity. That having, as getting older, and it was going to be harder living alone. You know, if I fall downstairs, nobody would notice for several days. And it was part of preparing to die, you know, that we'll have a place that we can live at home until we die, and agreements with our community mates to, you know, put the pillow over our face when we ask them. So that's,
hopefully there's some discussion there, you know?
Right? Yes. Yeah, not just when they're tired of hearing us complaining, but when we say, all right, now's the time. So I do feel that it's more sustainable. We are trying to grow as much of our own food as we can. And
it's more empowering, I think, that everybody has some input and some say about what's going on.
When we do it right, that's true.
When it's done right.
Every so often,
so people
someone
feel better about themselves.
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the
idea.
It's not the patriarchal
model
that middle America has.
That's true.
Has deemed.
Yeah, we're.
You're creating a new model of how to live. And that's what a lot of these and entities are doing. They're creating new ways to go about the very essential parts of our lives.
And what are some of the, I know you've mentioned a few of them, but what are some other notable ones that you remember?
Well, one is Project Sanctuary,
uh-huh.
For instance. You know, it's not it's not that they have to be making a lot of money to be on the list or something. You know, it's really about promoting values of, and ways for people to be in the common good. So some of the information we gathered from the interviews is like the economic actions. So transitional housing program from Project Sanctuary, and supports five families with rent and utilities for a year and a half. You know, this is like information that this is what they do. Program teaches skill building and case management, a savings program to build into the housing program, advocates for clients with landlords, offers financial support, food cards, gas cards, hotel stay for time of crisis, partnering with West Company about jobs and financial empowerment groups, support family environment. Babies can come to work with moms. And, you know, so this is some of the information that we're gathering about. And then the other one that I'd like to mention is Redwood Forest Foundation Incorporated, RIFI. So they're going way beyond sustainable farming of trees.
Forestry.
So it's you know, their values are, and standards are much higher than just taking the large trees and taking off to get them milled.
They're trying to rebuild the habitat,
mm-hmm.
rebuild the forest and what it can be at its maximum. So it's most productive and builds a habitat for nature and rebuilds all the natural systems of the creeks and the soil and everything that has gotten destroyed in the process of clear cutting, and the habitat for the salmon and all of that. All these groups, and there's another one called the Conservation Fund is doing the same thing, and there are many environmental groups that would be involved in all this, the Ocean Protection Coalition, all the people on the coast and inland that are working to make our world a better place, both environmentally and for the people. Healthy people, healthy planet, and healthy products. those are the things we're looking for. And let's see, the other groups, I had some others on here. Another thing we look at is just groups that build community. Building community is one of the most important things, bringing people together so they can all work together to create their own future. And this is good. Casper Community is an example of that, or the Granges are an example of that, or the Mendocino Community Center is an example of that. So there are a lot of those, and they're really important. So it's important to make people aware that that's part of what has to happen for us to really have a sustainable future, where we all communicate with each other. You know, it's more of a cooperative environment than a competitive environment. That's one of the trademarks of our traditional cultures, that we're competitive. And so we don't really go out and network, and you know, unless you're going to fix prices in the business world or something.
Or have a foreign government interfere in the election.
Yeah, that's right.
Not a good idea.
But, you know, cooperation is such an important human attribute of nature. Nature cooperates. It's not competitive, even though that's a narrative that we always hear. I think if you really look at it on a micro level, that it's really cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what we're enhancing, those kinds of institutions.
And also the diversity of kinds of institutions and groups, and, you know, trying to fill it out so it isn't just down one track. But,
yeah. Again, we're talking with Jim Tarbell and Carrie Durkee, who are facilitating a workshop, a participatory workshop on building an economy for our common good. They're doing a Mapping Solidarity Economy Enterprises of Mendocino County project through their class that starts this Saturday at Mendocino College in Willits. And every Saturday,
every other Saturday,
two Saturdays a month, it will be from 10 a.m. to noon. So have there ever been a company or a group that says, we think we fit, and you determined didn't?
You know, that has not been our situation. Mm-hmm. You know, we imagine, you know, that somewhere there's going to be a boundary that we run into. But we haven't really run into those boundaries.
What would be a deal killer?
Well, here's the only one that really came up. There's a business on the coast. I think it's called the Coast Outlet, Fort Bragg Outlet. Is that what it is? It has very inexpensive products. And people said, well, that's good for everybody because nobody has money. And then somebody else said, well, you know, how is that different than the dollar store? And the dollar store is, you know, are they living on slave wages somewhere, or are they destroying the environment? So, you know, there's a lot of things to look at.
Mm-hmm. Walmart won't be among your...
Well, probably no. We certainly favor locally owned, locally controlled enterprises.
Sure.
That's for sure. But, you know, you can't just blase or right off the bat write somebody off. You have to kind of go and look at them, because they might be doing something that you kind of go, oh, well, they are. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, everybody thinks they're doing something for the good of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody who runs a business says, you know, I'm producing a product that people need.
Uh-huh.
So that is, you know, that those boundaries are going to be very interesting as we go ahead here. And it's just nothing that we've bumped into too seriously yet, because there are so many that are just absolutely obvious,
mm-hmm.
right? And the ones that people really love and that they want to go out and interview. And so it's driven by the participants in the class,
uh-huh.
about who really gets interviewed. So I don't know. Do you have any?
No, I just think that edge, you know, will and does show up, but how to negotiate it is really handled by the group. So, you know,
One of our ideas is that maybe we'll have allies. We'll have a group of allies.
Yeah, friends of the sustainable community.
Yeah, right. Friends of the sustainable, right. Maybe we'll do that. Because we want to be as inclusive as we can without just
Having it be meaningless, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they have to. What we're really looking for is, what are you doing? What particular action are you taking? You're taking a, and we look at social actions, political actions, environmental actions, or economic actions. What actions are you taking to build this economy for the common good? You know, are you protecting the environment? Are you rebuilding habitats? Or what are you doing? So they have to be able to answer those questions to really, I think, qualify. Mm-hmm. That's the heart of this. You know, what we're really creating, as we say, is a database. And that's kind of the heart of the database, is how they respond to those questions.
And if you want to call in and talk about your ideas or your questions, the number is 895-2448. So what, you get this database, you get this map, what are you going to do with it?
Well, that's kind of, you know, the original idea was to create a local map, and we have, once again, we can bring this local map up to the mic, but it doesn't do any good. Oh, and I think we have a phone call.
We do have a caller.
Oh, now that's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Sakina, and I had the pleasure of taking a class with Jim and Carrie last semester, and I wanted to say what a pleasure it was, and how when I think about how discouraging things are sometimes, it's really nice to come together and with other people in the community and see all the really great things that are going on here. I had no idea. Dozens and dozens of organizations and entities that are really trying to just make things better. And the context of the MAP project is a great way to learn about that. And the discussions in class were always so interesting, and people just had a lot of different perspectives and were really good at listening to each other. And that was a real pleasure, too. So I would just encourage anyone who's thinking about it to check it out.
Great.
All right. Thank you, Sakina.
Thank you, Sakina.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Sakina was a very energetic member of our class. You know, did as much facilitating as we did, just about.
Really?
Which is not unusual for the class, that there were people who really, really put their heart and soul into going out and finding people and interviewing people.
Well, the point she made about it being uplifting.
Yes,
and
very
we
uplifting.
Need uplifting.
Yes.
And there's so many ways we can. You know, it's mm-hmm. out there. We need to focus on those things and where we want to go, not.
And it's
not
important to build that. Build
yes.
the future where we're headed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what really has to happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, that's an interesting thing, because I think I'm always looking for people to talk to about how we can solve problems or into the future. How do we lean towards the future and make it better? You know, we can get really caught up in the past and how terrible it is and was. And, you know, it's also important actually to stay in the present, of course, but to lean towards the future is something that I like to do, and seems to help continue to open my mind as opposed to lock it down and
shutting down.
Right,
easy to shut down.
Frightful, you
know? Move away from depression into elation.
Into the imagination.
Right.
So we were talking about the product that you're going to finish, this map, although it sounds like it's never going to be finished.
Well, it will no doubt be an ongoing project that will be managed. And there will be additions to it all the time. And one of the concepts here is to not only identify the entities that exist, but the entities that should exist or could exist in Mendocino County, the needs, to look out for the needs, and then maybe help start those kinds of institutions. And you know, provide more for what's needed here in Mendocino County.
And Jim, maybe you could say a little bit more about how it hooks up nationally. Like,
oh, well, so then eventually, you know, when we have our when we have a map that we think has a viable number of entities, you don't want to get in a situation where you put a map out and people that should be on it aren't on it, for instance. And so you want it to be in a nice place where everybody's happy with how it looks. And once that happens, we've been talking to Emily Kawano and a professor that works with Emily, a guy named Craig Borowiak, who's a professor at Haverford College, who teaches a course on the social solidarity economy. And it was both Emily and this Craig that put that national map together that you were looking at. And on the map itself, if you read the map, they say, well, you know, you have to have this, you have to fulfill this criteria and this criteria and this criteria for an entity to be on it. But the truth is, when we talked to them, they said, well, just send us what you've got. Yeah, when we have another call.
Oh, we have another call. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hi there. I was listening a while back, City Hall, you know, the old GP property, they're looking for ideas from the community to what direction that the property is going to be developed in. And I thought maybe your class has a lot of good ideas that probably they'd like to talk to you at City Hall, you know, for some ideas.
Well, as a matter of fact, I worked with a group called the Noyo Headlands Unified Design Group for years on that exact situation. And we do have connections with City Hall. And George Reinhardt is still very involved in looking for, and we're very closely connected with what he's doing about what can happen out there on the mill site. So that's a very good idea, and if you want to join our effort, you can join and work on that part of that project.
Yeah, great. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. 895-2448. We have about 7 more minutes that we'll be taking calls. So if you have a comment or question, or then call in.
I just want to repeat how to register for our class.
Yes,
here.
Good.
How important it is to register in the next few days. You do that by calling Patty Goulias at Mendocino College at 468-3236. Or as Carrie had mentioned before, you can go online to mendocino.edu/workshop-registration. And you can just Google. It's a community extension course. It's not a free credit course. It's an extension course. And so you go to community extension courses at Mendocino College. And I think we have another call.
We do. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Linda, this is Chris Skyhawk. And thanks, Carrie and all you guys have the show. I'm curious, you just mentioned Fort Bragg. I'm curious also what the intersection point will be once you have compiled them with that and have some of your maps. What will be the intersection point with the county in terms of its level and perhaps getting the Board of Supervisors on?
Okay, let me repeat it because you were breaking up a little bit. That okay. How the information that's collected, how will it be integrated with what the county is doing administratively?
Yeah.
I'd like to
be sure that this wonderful document isn't something that gathers dust. It actually becomes a living document that influences policy. So thank you for that, and I'll listen in to what they have to say. Thanks.
Great.
Oh, well, we'll have a website. We're putting a website together, so it'll be up on a website, and we will publicize it in the papers, radio programs. We're going to have grand openings, and so
openings of
announcing that, you know, the map has happened. It's alive.
I see.
Anybody can get it online. And it's a Google map, so, you know, it can get bigger or smaller, and you can print out little areas if you are interested in particular areas. And we have We'll probably get people who are, we've interviewed to be part of this process. So we're going to reach, you know, as far as possible. That's our, certainly our goal would be to impact public policy.
Yes. For instance, I've been talking to Heather Gutierrez, and she's moving from staff with Huffman to NRDC, and she is interested in talking to us about the map that we're creating. So who knows? You know, it seems to me like once we get a little bit further down the path on the actual map making, that we will be able to make more connections that we don't even really know about yet.
Yeah, that seems to be the way it's going. The more people hear about it, the more excited they get, and things happen that you go, oh, I hadn't thought about that connection. But we certainly, it's not going to do us any good just to have it collect dust, which it can easily do. So
I've seen some extensive reports sit on shelves. And,
yeah, that's right.
But yeah. I think a difference with your project is it's grassroots.
Right.
It's, the origin is the grassroots, and therefore there's a lot more energy than when it's top-down, somebody writes a report.
You know, it's grassroots and it's ideas. It's not an ideology. It's not anything you have to believe in. You know, it's a creation that's out of what we already know in relationship to each other.
I imagine then you have a pretty broad spectrum in the classes that you've done of ideologies. And
yeah, we do have a pretty broad spectrum. Sure, and we want to be inclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think everybody cares about a sustainable future here in Mendocino County.
I think so, right. Too. Yes.
Right. So, right, everybody's welcome.
Yeah.
You know, part Absolutely. Of it is also to create a framework that we can put ideas into. You know, a lot of times if we don't have a framework in our mind, that the ideas just pass through and move on.
Right, yeah.
We have another call.
Another caller, thanks. I'm facing Jim and Carrie and away from the switchboard, so they are the ones that are telling me. Good afternoon, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Linda. This is a Bayhawk calling you from Emerald Earth Sanctuary.
Oh, there's another fabulous sustainable, community-oriented organization.
Good.
Well, we're certainly doing our best and, you know, excited to hear about this project. And, you know, a couple of thoughts that I'm having as I'm listening to you, and I know we're near the end of time for you guys, is just how you're going to maintain this, and is there going to be like a database that's searchable so someone could say, well, I'm really interested in, you know, facilitation to help organizations communicate better, or I'm really interested in gardening, or I'm super interested in anti-racism efforts, and that they would be able to find those specifically. Does that make sense, as opposed to just having a map that sort of has everything all listed in no order? Is my question making sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I don't think we have that really designed yet in what we have created, but it is something we've thought of and are working on.
Search by category.
Yeah, it's certainly one of our goals is that maybe you could even create maps by category. So if you wanted to know all the people that are working on food, growing food locally, you could just get a map of just them. And what happens on this map is you click on an entity and then information about that entity comes up. How to contact them, what they do, and things like that. So hopefully we would get to that stage of our project where you can do that. We have about 10 or 12 economic sectors, we call. So you'd be able to look by sector, financial sector, community services, things like that. And probably have access to the database. In some manner, probably online access to the database.
Great
question.
I mean, and I guess from my experience of doing, you know, what little experience I have doing databases and that sort of thing, the sooner you can get the, like, check boxes in as you enter everything in, then later when you get somebody who actually has the technological prowess to make things searchable and stuff, the better. Because if you just enter it all in, and then later stuff like, oh, it would be cool if we could search by this thing,
yeah.
But then everything's been entered without that. So,
yeah, no, that's a very good point.
I'm encouraging that thought as you are creating this thing, because the more functional it is as our technology gets more capable of doing so many things, the better off you'll be.
No, that's a very good point and something that we've talked a lot about.
Thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Your question.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Abeja.
And take the class.
Right. Yeah, the categories I see here, community services, food and farming, political, communications, education, government, health, restoration ecology, and retail. And then...
And it can go on and on from there.
Right, yeah.
So
let's just, for people just tuning in, we're talking with Carrie Durkee and Joan Tarbell about a class they are facilitating through Mendocino College, Building an Economy for Our Common Good, and they're doing a project, Mapping Solidarity Economy Enterprises of Mendocino County. Any other closing thoughts you have?
Well, I just want to remind people, give people the phone number again to call at Mendocino College. Call 468-3236 to do that. And if you do it next couple of days, that'd be great. We'd love to see you there. We'd love to have a lot of people participate in this process.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us, Linda. It's been very nice to be here.
Well, I'd like to check back as time goes on and watch your map grow. How about if people wanted to just talk with you individually?
Yes,
do you have any public numbers you can put out?
Sure, okay, yeah. My phone number is 964-1323 if you want to talk.
964-1323.
Or my email is probably even better, is rtp@mcn.org. And Carrie, you give her contact.
937-2554. And my email is cdurkee, like first letter of my first name and my last name. So cdurkee@mcn.org.
Great. Well, you two are real assets to our community, and I applaud the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Linda. So, and you too.
No kidding.
This is Corporations and Democracy. I'm your host, Linda McClure, and thank you very much for joining us.